one thing that you all have in common, you all are mothers, right?
We are.
Yep.
Yes.
And that brings me to Sunday's event at Walton Arts Center that says, listen to your mother. Leela, how did this come about?
This came about because a woman named Ann Immig in Madison, Wisconsin, a couple years ago, started this show, which is just a really simple concept of women or men, anyone, getting up and telling a story about motherhood to illuminate some aspect of their own motherhood or motherhood in their lives.
Sunday, there will be 14 people.
Yes.
So we'll hear 14 stories. How did you find the 14 voices?
We, Stephanie McCraddock and I, are producing the show locally. It's going to be in 10 cities this year. And we had a written call for submissions first. We had received about 50 submissions. And from that, we culled that down to, I think we saw 20 in a live audition. And, you know, it's really not about, you know, having the best or most dramatic story or any type of writing. It was just trying to get different voices and different aspects of motherhood represented.
Everybody here has written about motherhood either in print or online. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
I have not.
You have not.
But I talk about it. I do stand-up comedy. And I talk about it.
Is motherhood something that lends itself to stand-up comedy?
Either. Oh, no, not at all. There's no material there.
Without incrimination, what's a sort of event that could find itself in your stand-up comedy?
Well, sometimes I talk about my own mother. So there's that aspect where I talk about my mom, my mothering, and that. And then, you know, your children say the darndest things sometimes. And I don't know if I should give you any examples of what my daughter says, because I usually say it in you know, a stand-up comedy arena. But, yeah,
it's
you know.
It's a family show.
Yes. Yeah, it's a family show. She says some stuff, though. And I'm like, whoa, she's only 7, and she just knows things, you know. I don't know how she knows them, but she knows them.
It's a mystery.
Shannon, Maxim?
Yes.
You're one of the two Shannons in the room.
Yes.
You have been blogging about motherhood for a while.
Yes, yeah, since Gwen and I started NWA Motherload, mm-hmm. I've had a blog, Life with Ladybug. And, yes, so been writing about, it's more about, you know, sort of my journey, but as her mother. So she's, you know, there's a lot of her subject material, definitely.
Gwen, Shannon, what does blogging about motherhood allow you to do? I mean, because there's, you know, you can blog as often as you want.
Yes, yes. I think it allows you to connect with other moms who are, it's, motherhood is universal. And I think that's kind of what this show sort of is about. I mean, it's all aspects of all the different, you know, the crazy, the mess, the beauty, the chaos of motherhood, and just sort of laying it bare. And I think we were talking about this earlier. Moms are doing that more. It used to be sort of the rosy, you know, tampon commercial, you know, music in the mm-hmm. background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything's beautiful and perfect. And so I think we're sort of unveiling that a little bit, moms, today with blogging. And with things like this show.
Gwen, mm-hmm. what do
well,
you do?
Well, let's be honest. Sometimes it's payback, too. You know, when your kids do something, it's, you know, one time my kid was potty training, and he had an incident where he basically stripped down in the middle of a Chick-fil-A indoor playground and flashed all the little 3- and 4-year-old girls there. And I was mortified, of course, and picked him up and fled the areas, you know, as fast as I could go. But the whole way I'm going home, I'm going, that was horrifying, but I'm going to get a really great story out of it. You know, so sometimes you just got to take the material where you can get it, too.
And what was the title of that post?
That title was Naked Nuggets.
We almost used that in the show. That was our sweet. We chose another of Gwen's pieces to use for the show, but Naked Nuggets was among the top choices.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one of the things that even though I don't write a blog, I read them. And I was mentioning to them, I'm so glad with the honesty. There's so much honesty because as a parent, like Shannon was saying, you want to show this perfect, you know, family life or whatever. And it's just when you have the honesty, you think, okay, other women think I want to kill this child, or what was I thinking? You know, like, I mean, there's been moments where I was like, what was I thinking? I had my child at 38. So I often get referred to, this is something in my stand-up, I get referred to as the grandmother. Mm-hmm. You know, I'll go somewhere and they'll say, oh, how your granddaughter's so beautiful. And I'm like, okay, so I had a career. You know, I went to college, started my own company, and then I had a child. I know it's crazy, but, you know, there's just things like that that happen. And to be able to share that with other people and go, okay, that happened to her too. And I'm not alone, and I do think these things, and sometimes you feel guilty. But then you also get the illumination of the beauty of motherhood and how wonderful. I wouldn't trade it for the world. The worst days I would not trade, you know. So
part of the beauty of this show, I think, is that it gets people together who don't necessarily read blogs in their everyday life because they're too busy running a business or doing whatever they do. And so, I mean, blogs have proliferated the culture. However, not everyone reads these mothering blogs, and a lot of people don't get to hear these kind of stories on a regular basis. And if you're just kind of tunneling and going through your day-to-day life, and you may not know that other moms are actually struggling or doing embarrassing things that you are doing, it's nice to hear that.
It's affirmation. I'm not crazy.
I'm not alone. I'm not crazy. I'm not necessarily doing it wrong.
Some of you have children who are younger. Yes. Shannon Maxwell, how old is your?
10.
10. Mm-hmm. Some of you have teenagers.
Right. Yes.
Is there something that's still uniform between being a mother of a 4-year-old and being a mother of a 17-year-old?
You would be shocked at how similar they can be sometimes. I mean, they're learning things. They're growing. They're trying to figure out the world around them. And sometimes it's the same at my age, too, in my 40s. You're stumbling through new things. And then sometimes teenagers lose a few brain cells in there, and you think you're back to square one.
We have 5 children, and they range from 2 to 16. And it is very parallel, the things that they go through and want, from learning on a daily basis to fits, all of them. It doesn't change. And they all still want their mommy.
Mm-hmm. Plus, you're still figuring it out all the time. So I might know what to do with a 3-year-old, but I'm not quite sure what to do with a 14-year-old yet. I need to still learn that.
Right. You know, any memoir that is someone looking back at their life or talking about their life, there has to be some editing. And if it's a book, you have time to think, well, maybe I shouldn't put that in. Maybe with a blog, the time isn't as long. How much do you self-edit? How much, whether it's stand-up, whether it's a blog, whether it's a book, how much do you decide, you know what, I can't put that in? I'm looking at you first, Leela.
Well, I mean, my kind of rules are that if it's going to hurt somebody's feelings, I don't put it in. I try to never say anything negative online because it's just there forever. You know, I don't write about really heart-wrenching things. I think maybe it's a little easier because I know, you know, what people will laugh at. I know what my family, I know where their thresholds are. So we talked about this, I think, yesterday. For example, I write a lot about my marriage. I don't think I would write about a real fight in my marriage that was unresolved, for example. I write about things that we can already laugh about. So same with my kids.
Do you take an inner poll, though? Do you ask your husband or your kids ever, is this okay to write about, or do you have that sense?
I do, especially now that they're older. And you know, I write for Peekaboo magazine quite often. And sometimes the girls now will bring the stories into my son and you know, poke fun. And so we kind of have an understanding that I will get clearance. But then if they do something, you know, that I think the world needs to know about, I don't get their approval necessarily.
You know, I think in writing about those things, if you do it without any meanness, then you don't lose any credibility in your message. And I think a lot of what we see in the writings of these women is just really credible stuff. You know, it's real, it's life. Sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's tragic, but it's without any mean-spiritedness. And, you know, at the end of the day, all these things are written from love. And so with that position,
I think it shines through.
It does shine through, and that's a really compelling message. And I think that's why blogging is growing the way that it is that you see examples of people's love for their family and their friends and their communities.
And it's also, it's not about them. It's about us as mm-hmm. a mother being able to express the truth of our experience. And I think that's why maybe in the past we've had all these insincere portrayals of motherhood because we wouldn't want to say anything that might reflect negatively on anyone in any circle associated with us. So we'll just pretend that everything's perfect. And that just does a disservice to everyone around us.
I've never been a mother, nor a father.
Probably never will be.
I have one. What are some of the? What did you not know before you were a mother that now you look back and think, oh wow, of course.
I always say that I learned that whole argument between nature and nurture is so much more profound than you could possibly imagine. It's so much more nature. Genetically, I'm surprised by my child all the time. He's so much like us, his parents. But then other times, that nurture thing, I see that, and he's completely his own person. But both are so much more there than I could have possibly have imagined.
I think one of the things that I'm most surprised about, and I'm surprised about it every single day, is how much my daughter loves me. I didn't know that anybody would love me like that. She adores me, and it's so bizarre. I mean, sometimes she's mad and angry, but she's just like, Mommy, you know, it's just this whole responsibility of, you know, I always tell my mom, I'm trying not to make the same mistakes you made. My mom was a teenage mother, and I'm making my whole, you know, a whole other set of problems that I'm actually saving up for a psychology fund. No college for her. It's going to be therapy. Yeah. So, you know, when you grow up, like I keep thinking, you know, she loves me so much and she's seeing me do things like listen to your mother. I'm doing this for my daughter. I like her to see, look what she's doing. She's doing stand-up comedy. She's doing theater. She's running a business. She's a single mother. And I want her to know that you can persevere and create.
I think one thing that none of our mothers were able to tell us, because you can't experience it until you are a mother, is how much it hurts to be a mother, how much you hurt for your child, whether it be out of physical pain that they're going through that you can't take away, or just your love for them. It's your heart is just so full for your child that it physically aches sometimes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.